This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. One of the cool things about history is that sometimes you can go back and pinpoint when things changed. Sometimes it's overnight, sometimes it's over a couple of years. So we are going to go mid to late 1980s now, what was called the golden age of hip-hop, when a bunch of hip-hop artists, mostly from around New York and the East Coast, started to find mainstream appeal. Run DMC, Public Enemy, A Tribe Called Quest, also Eric B. and Rakim. Eric B. was the DJ, Rakim was the MC, eventually called one of the greatest hip-hop lyricists of all time. Rakim has written a book now about his start in music and his thoughts on creativity. It's called Sweat the Technique. Thanks for coming in.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the welcome, man.
We ought to begin by saying you didn't really originally plan this line of work for your life, did you?
Nah. On the whole spectrum, you know, coming up as a young kid, I thought I was going to be a football player. I thought I was going to be a quarterback. And I don't know if it was fate or I stopped growing, but I wound up being an MC. But I definitely don't regret it.
You've always been a writer, though, right? I mean, even from when you were like a teenager and a kid.
Yes, yes. I always love writing art. Love art, love drawing, and just had a great love for music.
So you make that first move into music and hip hop and doing this for a living. And I want to ask you to tell the story of those first couple of days when you went out with these guys that you hooked up with. And what they made of your style, because your style is actually kind of why and how you're known, right? And they tried to produce you a different way.
Yes, yes. They tried to change me up a little bit, but yes, man, I think I was about 17 when I met Eric B. And we started going to Marley Marl's house. And first day we got there, we started recording song called My Melody. My style that I have is laid back, and at that time, 1986, you know, there wasn't too many, if any, rappers rhyming in that gesture. You know what I mean? So we get up in Marley Marl's house. He had a studio in his house. Marley Marl's a big time producer from Queensbridge, huge at the time. We get up in his house and we make the beat, and then it comes time for me to start recording my rhyme. So I'm sitting on his couch and I start rhyming, and the song maybe gets halfway, a little more than halfway through the verse, and he stops the track and he says, I like the rhyme, but could you put a little more energy in it? So, you know, not really thinking. I'm like, yeah, okay. So rhyming, maybe halfway through the song this time, and then he was like, why don't you try to stand up, maybe, you know. And by this time, you know, I kind of understand what he's trying to do and getting a little frustrated. And I just tell him, look, man, if I sit down or if I stand up, it's going to sound the same way, man. This is how I rap, bro. You know what I mean? So we finally got through the session, man, and, you know, a couple weeks later, after the record came out, I seen Marley Marl and Shan, and, you know, they had a smile on their face and told me, like, they get it. It was like, yeah, we get it now, man, we get it. So it was a crazy experience, but I'm glad that I held my guns, so to say.
Yeah. There's going to be a huge chunk of the audience listening to this interview that isn't going to understand what you mean when you're saying I was doing my rhymes and laying down my rap. So when you sit and do what you do or did when you were a younger man, what was your process? How'd you get there?
It was a lot different. I used to love listening to the track and just kind of, you know, zoning out and trying to understand the track before I would start writing rhymes. Coming up in my household again, a lot of jazz played in my house. My mother loved jazz. My father loved jazz as well.
So, you know, that's so interesting. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's really interesting because one of the things I did before I sat down with you for this interview is obviously I watched a bunch of your stuff on YouTube. And okay. I was watching you on the NPR Tiny Desk concert.
Wow.
And two things about it. One was it is exactly like jazz. It's really syncopated. What you do is really syncopated and flowing. But the other thing is, and this is, I don't know, you tell me if it means anything, you did it with your eyes closed the whole time.
Yes, yes. We did that track a little faster than we usually do, than I usually do. And a lot of them rhythms and syncopations that I use in my rhymes, it seems like I can kind of hit it better with my eyes closed for some reason. It just helps me focus in. But I've been doing that song for maybe, I don't know, 20 years now. Yeah. But it's still, you know, certain songs that I do, certain parts that I get to, I just find myself being comfortable closing my eyes and being able to, I guess, see the music and see myself putting my words where they're supposed to be.
Do you ever listen back to your old stuff, or you just kind of keep on moving forward? Do you?
Yes. I, not as much as I should, but every chance I get, sometimes I have to remind myself exactly what it is that I do.
You, you've worked, obviously, with some of the greats, and now, arguably, you're one of the greats, right?
Yes.
When younger wannabe hip-hoppers and rappers and MCs and DJs come to you and say, how do I get to where you are? What do you tell them?
Well, I think, like, some of the main things that I tell them is try to stay true to they self. Number one, try to speak from the heart. And the most important thing is try not to let people outside dictate your career or tell you what you should or shouldn't be doing. A true artist already has a sense of what he or she should be doing. There's always room for creative criticism from those that know what they're speaking on, but it's very important that they have a sense of self and understand what they want to do so they don't get deterred when people come at them.
It's a book called Sweat the Technique, Revelations on Creativity from the Lyrical Genius, Rakim.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it big time.
So, a couple of things about that interview. First of all, the book he wrote, Sweat the Technique. We've got an excerpt at our website, marketplace.org. Also, the music you're hearing on the show today, Rakim picked it out for us. The full playlist online for us as well.